Well, this morning, tempting as it is to spend quite a lot of time on the Exodus passage, and not for the reason you're thinking, I was reminded again this morning that the fascinating thing about that first little bit of Exodus is that every human being that saves the Israelites is a woman, which pleases me in oh so many ways, and is a good reminder that when it comes down to things, all things being equal, women do the right thing first, and we get it eventually. But that could just be an editorial comment. We will dispense with that from this moment on. And instead, we will talk about gifts. That's the sermon title. Let's talk about gifts. Not particularly provocative. Many of my sermon titles are questions and such. And then sometimes they're just, well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to talk about gifts. And obviously this comes from Paul's letter to the Church of Rome, to Romans chapter 12. And there's some things I want us to, well, not so much clear up, but some things I want us to keep at the back of our minds before we begin. And first, that this list of gifts, spiritual gifts here, is not an exhaustive list. If nothing else, there are things that Peter mentions in 1 Peter that are not in this list. And for that matter, Paul in Ephesians and also in 1 Corinthians has some other gifts. And I would put it to you that when we add all these gifts, lists together and collate them, that's still not an exhaustive list. It's an illustrative list. It lets us know that this is the range of things that are given to God's people as spiritual gifts, but there are others besides. If nothing else, the critical lack, if you ask me, and that demonstrates that it's not an exhaustive list, is that worship isn't mentioned. And for all of us who have been given the privilege to sit under the worship leading of a gifted worship leader, we know there's something special about them. There's also the gift of martyrdom that's not listed there, but that one's a little bit tougher to prove. As I've said before, the problem with demonstrating whether you actually have the gift of martyrdom or not is sort of an all or nothing kind of thing. And well, if you're wrong, you're going to get to heaven. You'll still be in heaven. You get to heaven and Jesus will meet you and say, well, you realize your gift was actually encouragement. Happy to have you here, but you could have been doing other things. And the other thing that I want us to keep at the back of our mind, that when it comes to spiritual gifts, everyone who has a relationship with God through Jesus has spiritual gifts. All of us. Not just some of us, not just a special few, but all of us. So let's keep those two things in mind. And what we're going to do, first of all, is I want us to look a little bit at verse 3. Where Paul says in this translation, "For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you." And what most of us do instantly when we hear that verse is we think, well, I had better not become full of myself and think more of myself than I ought. Well, that's not really the problem. What I want us to focus on is Paul saying, think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the measure of faith God has given you. Because for the vast majority of Christian people, for most of you, I would put, the issue isn't that you think more of yourself than you should, but that you think less of yourself than you should. Spiritual gifts are God's gift, not solely to us, but in the same way that we are gifts to each other in the church, our gifts are gifts to the church. And that would be fine if our gifts were obvious and big and flamboyant and we always knew what they were, and you know, the gift of being tall or the gift of being good looking. These are not spiritual gifts, by the way. But rather, so many of our gifts are gifts that we tend to dismiss and sometimes even belittle. Most of us do not have a problem when it comes to spiritual gifts of thinking more of ourselves than we should. Instead, what I hear more than anything else with people who have the gifts of compassion, of serving, of helping, of encouragement, of giving, I hear things like, well, I just did this. No, you didn't just do anything. You exercised the gift that the Holy Spirit looked at you and said, I'm going to give you the gift of compassion, the gift of service, the gift of helping, the gift of prophecy, the gift of wisdom, whatever it might be. There's no just involved. But that's what I hear over and over again. And so when we hear Paul talking about how we shouldn't make too much of our gifts, for many of us, it's an opportunity for us to diminish them when we do that already. And no, that's not what Paul's talking about. Paul is writing this to people like me. I frequently think far more highly of myself than I should. And believe it or not, I'm a lot better at it now than I used to be. There are days when I'm kind of happy that nobody who knew me 35 or 40 years ago was around. And then there are sometimes I think it would be kind of helpful for some of you people to realize that when I say this, this is not some kind of rhetorical trick up here. No, this is just the simple truth. As a younger person, I was horrifyingly arrogant. Paul writes this to me because my gifting allows me to stand up here, and if I'm not careful, to think that I am the one who's providing whatever spiritual goodness you get today. And I am not. I'm the vessel. If I'm not careful, I will look at my gifts, which include the ability to preach, to open Scripture in ways that are new, or at least a slightly different perspective on Scripture sometimes. And I will say that without my gift, well, the rest of your gifts don't really matter. And the only way I can say that is if I can say it about you too. Because it's actually true. My motivation is what turns that from a horrible thing to say to a spiritual truth. Because without your gift, whatever it might be, or your gifts, whatever they might be, my gift doesn't matter either. Spiritual gifts come in all kinds of flavors. Upfront, obvious gifts, and lots of them behind the scenes, if you will. Or the kinds of things that if you're not careful, you'll just think are part of how the world works when they simply don't. Some gifts are given for a particular time. You may have heard of the gift of a word of wisdom or a word of knowledge, which is given to a particular person at a particular time in a particular situation to bring the wisdom of God to that situation so that good things can happen. It's a gift that comes when needed. But many other gifts are given to you, and you always have them, and you grow in them. It would be nice if spiritual gifts arrived fully formed, and so you were as good as you would ever be right from the beginning. Well, if one of my spiritual gifts involves preaching and teaching, I would like to tell you that they do not arrive fully formed. And there are many people, I would recommend talking to anybody at, say, First Presbyterian in Regina, if you're wondering if I'm making this one up, that will tell you that I've gotten better at this. Possibly even a lot better, considering where I started. And that's the way it is. We become better at these things. The gift is given to us, and we then exercise it, and we get better at it. And some of these gifts are with us all the time. For example, the gift of hospitality is one that for those who have it is always there. The gift of hospitality is an extraordinary gift because it's not just a matter of making people feel at home in their home. People with the gift of hospitality make others feel at home in a third person's home. There's something about that warm embrace that says you matter and you belong and we're happy you're here. That is more than the abilities of entertaining, of putting on a successful dinner party or barbecue or something like that. Sometimes they go together. My mother had both, was a gifted entertainer in that sense, and also had the gift of hospitality. If we're not careful, those of us who receive these gifts will just think they're just how people are and that there's nothing special about them. And that's just us taking things for granted, which is easy for us to do. We always take things for granted. It's part of the human condition. I, for example, most of the time take the ability to walk without pain for granted. I'm getting my left knee done again next Friday. I'm not taking that ability to walk around without pain for granted at all these days. But you watch. In 6 or 8 weeks, I'll be back to it. I never think of it. We take each other for granted because when people are exercising their spiritual gifts, they do it in such a natural way because it flows from who they are in God, that it looks like it's no work. And in one sense, it is no work. But in another sense, without it, nothing works. And we can't take other people's spiritual gifts for granted. And we can't take ours for granted either. Or we can't dismiss them. As I said before, I see this in people with the gift of helping and serving and compassion in particular. I see it over and over again when these people who just make things happen, that when they help out, everything's better. And they just say, well, I just did this. I said, well, no, you didn't just do that. You exercised the spiritual gift that made the lunch we had together better. Because when you help out, everything works better. Because you see what needs to be done and then do something about it in a way that the rest of us don't. We had a perfect example of this morning in Knox. It's raining, in case you haven't noticed. And it's raining quite a lot. And the church in Briarcrest, Knox Presbyterian, is an elderly church, so it's not too surprising that occasionally it has a leak or something. Well, in the middle of the service, one of the members of the church got up and went and found a bucket and put it under the drip. I know people, because I can be one, who would notice the drip in the church and go, oh, the church is leaking. Somebody should do something about that. And that might make me a lazy person. Possibly it does. Maybe it just means that I don't know where a bucket might be, whatever it might be. But for this person, the possibility of seeing something that needed to be done and not doing anything about it is virtually zero. And it's not because they're OCD. It's not because they're worried about the church property getting dripped on, although that's, you know, that might be part of it. It's that something needs to be done, so they do it. People with the gift of encouragement can no more leave you in the dumps than they can just live without breathing. People with the gift of encouragement are some of the most wonderful people to be around. And we all know somebody like this. These are the people who notice, when nobody else does, that you need someone to say, how's it going? These are the people that when you are playing the poor me card, which we all do, oh, I made the cake, but it's not as good as it might be. And they can tell the difference between someone who's just doing that false humility, humble brag thing, and somebody who needs to be reminded of how valuable they are. And they say the right thing. Or their presence is enough to make us realize that we're valued. We need these people. And I want, just for a moment, for a thought exercise, I want us to just for a moment think about someone in the church here, you're visiting, your own church, wherever it might be, to think of those people who make things happen in a way that's more than just, you know, they're talented organizers. Whether it's someone with the gift of helping or serving or compassion. And I want you to think for just a moment about that person, fix them in your mind. And now imagine church without them. Or imagine that they're there, but they don't do that. And now I want you to realize that right now, somebody's thinking of you. Somebody is thinking of you and what you bring to this church, what you bring to your faith community, your larger community. And they're saying, that's that person who does that thing. Who always makes me feel better. Who makes me feel welcome. Who leads by example. Whatever it might be. And imagine for a moment that if that person were to look at their gift, which you appreciate so much, and say that this gift really doesn't matter. It's not that important. It's not as important as those elders. Or maybe it's not as important as the preacher. It's not as important as the person who can give a lot to the church. And when you think of how foolish they are, ask yourself if you've ever thought the same thing. If you've ever looked at the gift that God has given you And particularly now, for many of you, after years of using it to the point where it has become second nature and you've perhaps forgotten, at least now and then, that it's a spiritual gift. And you think, well, if I didn't do this, somebody else would. Or if I didn't do this, no one would notice. And realize that no, someone would notice. We'd all notice. The church is this miraculous body that is whole when it's all together for that time. Which means that when you go on vacation, the church is not crippled. The church is whole because we're all here. All of us who are here make up this body of believers. And if the constitution changes of it now and then, so some people are here and some aren't, and we have visitors in and we have long-term members who are away, it's still the whole church. The only time the church isn't whole is when the people who are here don't exercise their gifts. Does this mean that your gifts are called upon at every moment? Well, I certainly hope not, because if my gift is preaching and teaching, that means I'll never shut up. And I'll never be able to listen to you. And I'll never be able to receive the gifts that you have for the church that are so richly and abundantly poured out on me. We exercise our spiritual gifts whenever the Holy Spirit leads us to. And sometimes it's dramatic. But so often our spiritual gifts, which are selected for us by God, not by random. It's not like the genetic lottery that some of us win and some of us don't. God looks at us and who we are and says, this is the gift for this person. And when they exercise this gift, they are more themselves than they would be otherwise. And the exercise of our spiritual gifts brings us deep satisfaction and a connection with God and with the people around us. There's no downside to exercising your spiritual gifts. The only problem with spiritual gifts is when we think we don't have any, or when we think ours don't matter. They do matter. In other places, Paul talks about how in the body of Christ, you might have people who say, well, I don't really count. And he says it's as foolish as if the parts of our body said, well, I'm only a finger. I'm not as important as an eye. I don't matter. All the parts of our body matter, and all the parts of this body matter. And the gifts that you have, whatever they might be, are every bit as important as every other gift. And while it's just possible, I suppose, that someone here needs to hear that you should stop making too much of yourself and your spiritual gifts, my guess, my prediction on the basis of long experience with people in the church, is that more of you need to hear that your spiritual gift is absolutely critical. It's wonderful. And I have to have it, and everybody else has to have it. You are our gift from God. He's given you these things that we might benefit from them. You're never going to hoard them because you think they're so valuable. But it's just possible you might not share them because you think they're worthless. And you'd be wrong. We need each other. We have to be willing to open ourselves up to the exercise of our spiritual gifts when we first get them and we're first figuring out how they work and when we've had them for decades and they're like second nature, because the church needs them. When we're all together, we make the church. And the only limit that we can put on that is our own. So don't limit your gifts. If you're not sure what they are, ask people what they see in you, and they'll probably give you a pretty good idea. And be willing to give what you've been given. As God has generously poured out all that this church needs upon it, let us generously give to each other and thankfully receive from the gifts of the Spirit.